This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 4040, for Friday, the 26th of January, 2024. Today's show is entitled, Further into Florida. It is part of the series Travel. It is hosted by Ahukad and is about 15 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is, we continue our Florida journey and hit the Kennedy Space Center.
This is Ahuka welcoming you to Hacker Public Radio and another exciting episode in our ongoing tale of RV travels. And so we were leaving Panacea, Florida last time, and now we move further into Florida on the 20th of January. We made an overnight stop at a place called Lake City. And there is a Lake City campground. We had a reservation. We found the campground, but there was no one on duty. Well, we had a reservation. There was one empty spot, so we just pulled into it and set up. There was no one answering the phone. The voicemail box was full and not accepting any more messages. The next morning, nothing had changed, so I went into RV Trip Wizard and found that the three previous people who left reviews had all been charged $20 for a one-night stay, so I wrote a check for that amount, and then we hit the road. So on the 21st, having written the check, we left Lake City. And we drove to a town called Mims, which is just a few miles from the Kennedy Space Center, where we stayed at the Titusville Kennedy KOA RV camp. We were welcomed by nice, friendly people, which I expected, since this is a KOA campground. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with KOA, it stands for Campgrounds of America, and yes, they're spelling campgrounds with a K, you know, because that's what the cool kids do, I guess. But it is a slightly more upscale and slightly more expensive option. But it was the best option we had for this particular stay. And it was a nice place. So by just after 2 o'clock, we were in our space and set up. Now, I checked the Kennedy Space Center site, and there are tons of things to do there. I think we could spend 4 days there easily. And looking at the admission charges, it makes sense for us to purchase annual passes if we do that. I'm getting excited here. This is something I've been looking forward to for a long time. So the next day, on the 22nd of January, after breakfast, we headed to the Kennedy Space Center. Now, they offer 1 day and 2 day passes. But after checking out the price, you know, the annual pass was barely more than the price of a 2 day pass. So it made sense to purchase annual passes. We're going to be using them enough. Plus, we get free parking and discounts on merchandise. So we bought our passes and decided to start with the bus tour. Now, this is an included tour with our passes. They have other tours that cost extra. And after viewing some of the structures, like the vehicle assembly building and the crawler that takes the rockets to the launch pad, we were dropped at the Apollo Saturn V building. Now, we started with a movie. We saw the launch control center used for the Apollo 8 launch. They had taken that and moved it over to this building. Then we got to see a Saturn V rocket. Now, of course, we also saw one in Huntsville. And I think if you're only talking about the Saturn V experience, Huntsville actually did a better job, in my opinion. But we got to see a movie about the Apollo 11 moon landing, exhibits about the moon buggy, and the actual capsule from Apollo 14. Now, as we stepped outside, where there were spectator bleachers, looking across at one of the launch sites across the water. Now, there are nearer launch sites than that, but you wouldn't get into these bleachers for those nearer launch sites. The idea is that observation, they want to keep you back a good 3 miles. Now, there's several reasons for that. First and most important is a fully loaded Saturn V rocket has the explosive power of a nuclear bomb if it blows up. And even good launches are things you don't want to be too near to. You can experience real problems at 2 or 2.5 miles distance. And, you know, it's not just the heat, it's the sound, the pressure, there are a number of concerns. So basically, they have observation places for various launch sites, but they're always located about 3 miles away. Now, they had the actual shuttle as well, all right? So when we finished at the Saturn V building, we caught the bus to go back to the visitor complex. And they dropped us right in front of the Space Shuttle Atlantis exhibit. And Atlantis is in the building. It's the actual shuttle. And as before, we started with a movie about the development of the shuttle before walking around. They removed the bay doors and had a mock-up of the flight deck you could walk through. There was also a display of a full-size mock-up of the Hubble Space Telescope, which, of course, was delivered to orbit and then serviced multiple times by shuttle missions. Then we had one of the best things of the day, a simulation of a shuttle takeoff. Now, they couldn't replicate the G-forces, but otherwise it was very realistic and a great experience. After that, we walked through a few displays, but we were getting tired and needed to do some grocery shopping on the way back. So we ended day one of our Kennedy experience and left the Space Center. Now, January 23rd, our second day at the Kennedy Space Center. With the annual passes we bought, we got free parking, which helps. We first inquired about the other bus trip that is not part of the pass. There were supposedly two, but one of them was not running at this point. And I think, I don't remember exactly why now, if it had to do with COVID or what the problem was. But there was one bus trip that required an extra charge, but it looked good, so we bought tickets. Then we went to the Rocket Garden. Now, this is by the entrance, and it is basically an outdoor area where you've got a bunch of different rockets set up, kind of taking you through the history of it. And there is a docent there who is guiding the tour and explaining everything that you would see. So that was a lot of fun. Then we went into the Gateway building, and that is, as far as I could tell, primarily a showcase for the outside companies that NASA is now purchasing from, like SpaceX, United Launch Alliance, Boeing, and so on. There looked to be some rides in there, but we didn't have time for them, so we thought, well, we'll go back later and check them out. From there, we went to the IMAX theater to see Journey to Space 3D, and that was fun. Finally, we got on the second bus tour. Now, this one had a guide the whole way. And this is the one that would take you to places. You could get off the bus. You could walk around, you know, and have much more of an experience. So it was a really good thing to do. We visited an observation tower that was near launch pads 39A and 39B. But, you know, the fact that it was near them meant you couldn't watch a launch from either of those, from this particular location. If a rocket were to blow up The guide said the resulting fireball would extend to about 3 miles. So NASA has a rule that no one can get any closer than 3.5 miles to observe a launch. So this tower was used for farther away launches. Then we went to a camera platform where NASA stations cameras to observe launches. These are very high-quality cameras, and our guide said that from a mile away, they could read his name badge on his shirt. Now, we went by launch pads 39A and 39B, and he noted the water towers on each pad. And that's actually a noise reduction measure. The rockets can produce so much noise that they would shake the rockets to pieces. So the water is dumped there at launch time for noise abatement. So when you think you are seeing white smoke at a launch, you're actually seeing a lot of steam. Then we went to the Vehicle Assembly Building, which is the largest one-story building in the world. The different stages of the rocket are stacked together here. Then the crawler goes and picks up the mobile launch tower and takes it to the Vehicle Assembly Building, and the rocket is added by some very heavy-duty cranes. Then the whole shebang goes on to the launch pad at an average speed of about 0.5 mile an hour. And that's where the rocket and the mobile launch tower are dropped off. The crawler goes to a holding area a little distance away, and after the launch, goes back to get the mobile launch tower and take it back to the VAB area. Now, we got to see a lot of the NASA operations on this bus tour, so I'm glad we did it. They dropped us back at the Saturn V building, but since we did that yesterday, we just caught the next bus back to the visitor complex and then went home. Okay, January 24th. Day 3 at the Kennedy Space Center. Started out with a return to the Gateway building where we took a couple of rides. One went to a different solar system where the planets were investigated, and the second took us to Mars. They were both fantastic rides, although brief at around 5 minutes each. But with lining up and getting belted in, it took a little more than that. So I recommend them highly. Then we went to the IMAX theater to see a movie about Gene Cernan and the last Apollo mission, which was number 17. It was called The Last Man on the Moon, and now we've seen two of the IMAX movies available here. Following the movie, we went back to the Shuttle Atlantis building for the guided Atlantis walk. And it turned out our guide for this was the same fellow we had yesterday on the guided bus tour. We enjoyed him then and again today. He gave us a lot more information about the shuttle and its components, particularly the heat tiles. After that, we went downstairs and watched videos of many of the people who worked on the shuttle program, each telling about their own experiences. We loved it. We finished off by taking in the presentation in the Journey to Mars building. NASA is planning to send the first crewed mission to Mars by the end of the 2030s, if I followed it correctly. And then it was time to go back to the RV. January 25th, day 4 at Kennedy. We arrived a bit earlier today so that we could be sure to catch the 3D IMAX movie Asteroid Hunters, which was all about scientists working in the Earth protection field to protect us from killer asteroids. Then, in the downstairs, we found a Lego exhibit, which was really for the kids, but it was kind of fun. Then we went to the Universe Theater for a presentation called It's a Matter of Fact. Now, this was also a kids' demonstration, but we had fun with it. Then, after lunch, we went back to the Gateway building to do the remaining two rides. One was about different stars, and the other about Jupiter and Saturn. They were just as much fun as the two we did previously. Now, we noticed that the Shuttle Atlantis building had something called the Hubble Theater, which we had not seen. So we went back there. When we got to the theater area, we found one of the guides relaxing while waiting to do the guided Shuttle Atlantis tour, which we had done yesterday. But we had a great time chatting with him before watching the movie. Then We went downstairs to try our hands at the simulators, but I have to say I found it frustrating. There's a reason I don't play those kinds of computer games. I'm no good at them. Then to cap off the trip, we did a repeat of the shuttle launch simulator, and it was just as much fun as before. At that point, we left, did a little shopping, and went back to the RV. So, this is Ahuka for Hacker Public Radio signing off, and as always, encouraging you to support free software. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.